Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time, and for your person, your power, your presence in this place this morning. Thank you, Father, because you're so real and so tangible. Thank you, Lord, because your word goes forth in power. Thank you, Father, for hearts touched, minds illuminated by your truth. And thank you, Lord, for the victory that is ours already in Christ Jesus. We love you, Lord. Father, I give this time to you. Holy Spirit, thank you for ministering in power. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue in the service this morning, let's carry that consciousness and that awareness that God is here. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. All right, praise God. How many were not here last week? You were not here. Okay. Praise God. Last week I started off on a series titled Sure Foundation, and the message was self-styled for last week. And essentially, I was asking the question about foundation in an individual way, in a specific way, pertaining to you as an individual. And I went on to say how that if we're going to stand firm in the midst of the world in which we now live, and the storms, the gathering storms and issues and matters arising, if we're going to hold joy, peace, and tranquility in our hearts, that it is important that we know what our foundation is. That we know who our foundation is, and that we stand firm and resolute in that knowing, in that knowledge. And we saw expressly how that there's no other foundation that can be laid but who? Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. Our firm foundation, Jesus. Also went on to consider 2 Timothy in chapter 2, verse 19. The solid foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows. The Lord knows those who are his. Amen. How about there's a solid foundation? The foundation is of God. And because it is of God, it stands. It stands sure, having a seal, having an emblem, having a mark, and also is descriptive, saying, expressing, the Lord knows those who are his. And in exploring this, friends, I had us take a moment to think back on the day we encountered Jesus, the day we met the Lord, made him Lord and Savior in our lives individually. And how that it is important to keep that in memory as we move on, because it's important to stand firm. What occurred, the change that resulted in your life based on Jesus Christ coming in to take residence in your life, in your heart, in your spirit, on the basis of you receiving the gospel, accepting the good news concerning Jesus, his death, resurrection, and glorious ascension. How that it's important to keep that in our hearts. If we turn our Bible this morning to John in chapter 10. John 10. We're going to consider the second aspect of what we looked at last week from 2 Timothy in chapter 2, which says the Lord knows those who are his. He knows. And I titled this message this morning, this part, He, that is God, so if you like, uppercase, He takes knowing. He takes knowing. You've got to know him. You have got to know him intimately. You have got to know him, to know God, to know the Father of spirits. Because in truth, essentially, everyone sitting down looking at me right now, in essence, truthfully, you are spirit. We get comfortable and relaxed and conversant with ourselves as okay, the flesh and this body and all the other nuances. But your spirit. And on that day, when you said yes, when there was that surrender, I can describe this in various words, something happened to you. You, hitherto dead to God, became alive because he quickened you. God quickened you by his spirit. He made you alive. Irreversible change. Wow, such impact. So I keep encouraging, let's not take that lightly. Let's keep it in focus. That foundation, firm foundation, solid foundation. Have it in full view. Because the trend of the age is to not only minimize truth, but it's also to try and just, as it were, cause God and the knowledge of God and the understanding of God and the knowing of God to be what? Cast as a thing of relic that belongs to a era. Postmodernism, if you like. And we have got to stand. Amen. We have to, we must. And it's important that we know our foundation. I remember distinctly I saw the clock already. My. When I got saved in January 1997, when I met the Lord, when I encountered Jesus. Two things I want to highlight as we go on this morning that were so real and I cast my mind back and it stayed with me all through. And I'm saying, thank you, Lord, because that's the way it's supposed to just pervade my existence all through the rest of my time here on earth. Number one, there was this desire and drive in my heart to know Jesus, as in to really, really, really know him, because Jesus had been represented to me in various ways. I was a teenager, in various ways and upbringing. But I needed to know Jesus personally. I needed to know him on a different level, at another level, because now I'd been joined with him. Because he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit with him. Yes. Or one spirit, period. And so, there was that drive. I just wanted to know you, Lord. And my sense was to go up to that 12th floor. It was 6th floor, but double floors. Way up, get my Bible, and prayerfully get in the Word. In the Word. And the Word. And more. And more. Not based on what someone else is telling me, because guess what? There had been so many representations that people say all sorts of things about Jesus that are not Jesus. So it takes a unique, not self-styled, but a one-on-one, personal, intimate communion with him to know him by the word. And I never looked back. Number two. Till today, as I speak to you, well, I guess I get to rephrase this. There's that thing in my heart. When I try to describe it, I still don't have the words. Well, there was this sense in me when I met Jesus that, man, I need to be in that place of worship. That affinity for him, that closeness, that draw to him is just... In knowing him in this way, knowing Jesus in this unique, beautiful, awesome, resplendent way, that thing of worship just from within my being. I was like, what is this? Because up until then, I didn't know what that was. I said, it was just worship. I said, okay, Lord, I need help. And long story short, because we gotta jump in here. Said, I need help. And before long, I was directed to an individual, a friend of mine, seen in the word, but the expression still wasn't there. A friend of mine who was a friend at the time, my beloved wife today. And then I said, because I was into a different scene and whatnot, so I didn't know anything about that. But I knew that there was something about worship. And I approached her and talked to her about it. And then, you know, in the word, share a few tapes of old, I was going to say old school, but back in the day of... The Ron Canolis of our times and the Don Morn, and of which things have changed now as far as expression and worship, but my trajectory in my relationship, in my one-on-one with the Lord, it just kept growing in an exponential manner, and it's been that way. When you closed your eyes last week and thought back to the day you first believed, and that burn in your heart, that penchant, that desire, that delight in and for the Lord. What have you done with that? What do you do with that? That zeal, that zest for the Lord from your innermost being. Yes, it may have been 40 years ago. Yes, it may have been 10 years ago. Whatever number of... But keep the fire. Keep that stirred up. Keep that stirred up. Keep that stirred up. We're at John 10. And time will not permit me to, you know, break this down. We're at John 10 from verse 1. Most assuredly. And Jesus is now... speaking to the Jews, and this goes back from a few chapters, but particularly chapter 9, when Jesus had healed a man born blind from his birth. And the Jews had a problem with Jesus, and the Pharisees were on the attack. So we know that's the mode of operation, correct? And so Jesus now begins to speak a few things in relation to them. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep what? Hear his voice, and what? He calls his own sheep by name. How known are you? You are known. The Father knows you because you are his. He knows your name. Yes. And leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they what? Know his voice. This knowing, friends, is based on a recognition. This knowing is based on a recognition which is based on, which is hinged on relationship. There is a knowing. With that knowing is a recognition of what? The voice of the shepherd. Jesus is here emphasizing the importance of his followers having a personal knowledge of and relationship with him. And this is important. If we're going to stand secure in our foundation, which is solid, by the way, if we're going to stand secure in this based on the times, then we must know him and know him intimately. Your foundation, you will not be moved, you will not be swayed, you will not be easily shaken by the noise and the din out there. Why is this underscore of your foundation or your knowledge and knowing and knowledge of Jesus? Why is it important? Look at the next verse. It's important because it's instructive and has a close relationship with the next verse. It says, yet they will by no means do what? Follow a stranger. But will do what? Flee from him, for they know what? Not the voice of strangers. Now, if you don't know Jesus closely or intimately in that way, what's likely to happen? Then you will, when the stranger's voice calls out, when there's no knowing recognition, when the stranger's voice calls out, you are likely to do what? To follow that voice. To follow that stranger. To be caught up in the web. Did I say web? I'll say two things and then jump into the core of knowing here as we progress this morning. One of the things in the modern age with technological advancement and the internet and social media and the list goes on and on, which can be positive tools and which are, for example, I mean, you know, when we had the issue last year, we talked about it, of the virus, the onset of the virus and all of that, and, you know, the close-ups and lock-ups and whatnot, and we're still able to have the message go forth in power as far as, you know, putting on there and having folks listen and watch messages from the pastor, which were encouraging, which were uplifting in that time. But there are negatives that also result. Voices, confusion. Several years ago, I was involved with a youth ministry in the area and led by a man of God who I now know has gone to be with the Lord, Tony, Oxygen Youth. With youths in the area, teenagers, who are having challenging times, who are having issues at their school based on events that were occurring. At one time, suicides being reported in their schools, which was traced back as I engaged, because bring the word, you share, encourage, and teach, and instruct, and try to disciple those teens in that time from the web. The pressure, the bullying, image issues. And other things which the world is so into right now. Oh, how many likes do you have? How many followers do you have? You know, the pictures, you know, and who unfriended me, who did what, and leading to suicide. And had to cancel, had to pray with, and all of that would lead to different things like trauma, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, and whatnot. behavioral issues emanating as well. Is it possible that we can disconnect? I mean, even as adults, sometimes we get caught up in a web, on the web, with time invested, trying to study the word, and the phone is on there, and it's on, and it's a text. What's that feeling that happens when you get out of your house, you're going somewhere, and you're driving, and you've left the phone or the pad or something, and then, what's that feeling? What's that thing? I still don't know. What? You're lost, you're tired, you're like, whoa, because you left the thing. I still don't have a name for it, but it's just that affinity for that. One time, I described last year and whatnot, I found myself, you know, sitting down and then watching, how about the news media? How about that? For a while, and my wife would come over and say, honey, you're doing this again. You're giving time to this again. You're getting stuck in that again. That wasn't my routine. I hardly did, but okay, I'm a pastor, right? Okay, I'm supposed to be aware, right? But not get sucked in. I've got to know what's happening and all of that, but not get sucked in, not get trapped in there. If you know, you know, about issues or theories, whether conspiracy or the conspiracy sort or not, I'm supposed to be in the know. But if you know you have a close pull to, oh, the various social media things out there, and it's kind of like, oh, this is, I just love it. It just makes me feel good. It just makes me feel, I'm just happy when I'm. Where's the line? Where's the limit? Where's the balance? Can we disconnect? Is it possible that we can disconnect from that, from those, and then connect with the Father in the place of a knowing, in the place of knowing the Father's heart? There was an outage earlier in the week, and I know we were all good. Social media out, whatever it was, we were all good. Nobody felt a thing. Voices. Can we connect? Let's see what Jesus says in John 10 about knowing. Look at verse 9. I am what? The door. Notice it didn't say a door. This is part of the I am pronouncements Jesus made. I am what? The door, not a door. If anyone enters by me, he will what? Be saved and will go in and out and do what? Find pasture. So, Jesus is the way, the truth, and what? The life. And not only is he the way, he is also what? The door, not a door. Because that's part of what goes now. All I accepted, everybody's accepted, the, it's specific. So, and you must come by him. Okay, remember friends, this was how the foundation was laid in our lives. This is how the foundation is laid as people come in, as we go out to minister, to evangelize, in our lives, in our conduct, in our lifestyle, conversation, all of that. It, the way till kingdom come is Jesus. The message of the gospel, the message of truth, always, it concerns, it's about, it is about who? Jesus. Verse 11. I am what? The good shepherd. That's the basis. The good shepherd. He does what? He gives his life for the sheep. Let's look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. I like it from the contemporary English version, it puts it in this way. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I know my own, and my own know me. What's instructive in this portion, in this passage, if we look in there, verse 15 actually goes with 14, and there's a link there so that it reads, I am the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father, or as, just as the Father does what? Knows me, and I also know what? Know the Father. So the level of that oneness, the level of that unity, the level of that connection with the Father of spirits, based on his spirit who now dwells within us, is the same. Bears resemblance to the relationship between who? Jesus. And who? And God himself. The same. The same. And other sheep I have also. If we look at the next verse, I'm still going to come back to that knowing. But just in John, on John 10, 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. So in the first degree, it was there talking to the Jews. It says, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be what? One flock and one shepherd. So, whether Jew or Gentile, whether bond or free, all made of what? One flock, all made of what? One family, the family of God. On the basis of faith in the person of Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to talk about the Father. Actually, all through John 10, Jesus, in teaching and speaking, made reference to the Father in that way. So hear me say this. Please go back, spend some time in John 10, and just allow Holy Spirit to open things up in that regard. But all that was said in this portion concerning Jesus as shepherd also relates to God, also has to do with God as the supreme shepherd. The love, the care, the compassion, the carriage, the protection, all of that is the same. Put down this portion. We'll not turn there. Isaiah in chapter 40. Isaiah in chapter 40. Verse 10 and 11. And there are other portions under the old that paint that picture and make it clear. God also is what? Shepherd. A little wonder in verse 30. He said, I and the Father are what? Are one. In essence, in nature, in purpose, are one. Bringing it down, as John put it in his writing, 1 John, our fellowship is what? Is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's look at that knowing. Once again, knowing, knowing. I know my own, and my own know me. At what level? Galatians in chapter 4. I will not read the whole thing. Galatians chapter 4. You can take it from verse 1 through 9. But for this, I'll just read from verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. Verse 8. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God. Paul is here describing, like I said, we didn't read the whole thing per time. Paul is here saying, based on God sending forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Paul describes this event, this unique occurrence, as you knowing God and God knowing you, or you being known of God. Spirit to spirit. Spirit to spirit. Let me try again another way. Romans 8, I think we mentioned it earlier. Verse 15. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received what? The spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Next verse, verse 16. The spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The sons of God, or children of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. In this witnessing with our spirit, in this agreement is the knowing. Because now you have the Spirit of his Son in your heart. There's oneness there now. There's the basis for relationship. You have access now. There's the basis for oneness. There's basis for communion. So therefore, put another way, ground zero for communion, for intimacy, for relationship in knowing God is your spirit. Is your spirit. I'll say it again. Ground zero for knowing God, relationship with God, fellowship with God, oneness with God is your spirit, who is the real you. There's that affinity, because they cry out. Whether you say from Romans 8:15, we cry out, or the Spirit who himself cries out, there is now an affinity for God. There is now a predisposition for God. There's that inward directional pull to him, really, truly. And this came with your foundation. But we allow the things of the world to hinder us from pressing into him, from knowing him the way we ought, taking advantage of this awesome relationship like none other, like no other relationship. His spirit in our hearts, his spirit in tandem with, in connection with, in oneness with our spirit, constitutes that seal. That's the seal, a mark, an emblem. You've been smeared with the very life of God, his spirit within you now. A deposit. I'm trying to express this in so many ways, but he lives within and he calls for communion. That's the Father's heart. That's been his longing. We know him in spirit and by spirit. How do we secure our foundation? Be immovable. We ought to desire to know him experientially by engaging with him, with God, with our hearts, with our souls, with our minds, with everything that we are. I want to press into you more, Lord. I want to know you more. And that's his exact heart for you as well. In order to experience this deeper dimension in knowing God, his person, his power, his presence, it takes cooperation. It takes a giving over of your life, in your time. You have to know him. He takes knowing. It's great to know him. He calls for that. He wants that. He desires that. That's his heart. Go ahead. Daniel 11:32. We don't need to turn. Daniel 11, chapter 11, verse 32. The B portion of it. It says, the people who know what? Their God shall be what? Number one, strong. Shall be what? Strong. How are you feeling this morning? How are you feeling in your heart, in your mind, your body? Whatever your response is, purpose, intentionally purpose in your heart to press into Him, to choose to know Him. It says they shall be strong and do what? Exploits. Great, actually. Thank you. Great exploits. Great. How many are set to do exploits based on your knowledge and knowing of Him? When it says to know there in the Hebrew, means to know, to be acquainted with. Essentially, I see it as your heart beating together with the Father's heart as one, where you know His heart, you know His will, you know His desire. And then you move based on His leading by His Spirit who dwells within you. You're not easily you're not moved or carried about with different things in this age. Isaiah put it in chapter 26, Isaiah 26. The latter part of verse 8 into the first part of verse 9. It says, the desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul, I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit, I will seek you early. Spirit, the Spirit now. You have His Spirit within you. The hunger, the thirst, the drive for Him, the zeal for Him. You have that, and you have to come into agreement with that. You have to connect with that. You have to maximize that, if you will. How? Three quick ways, and we'll continue. Number one, by the Word, knowing Him. In and by the word of truth. Put down 2 Timothy in chapter 2, verse 15. Which actually is a precursor to verse 19, which we saw. That is, it comes before. It's important, and it was a good warning when it says, study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly doing what? The word of truth. It says, be diligent, another says, to show yourself approved, because you're already approved. But how are you walking in your being approved? How are you living that out? Press in the word. Number two, prayer. Another whole message. All of these. Prayer. Wow. Put down Isaiah 64, verse 7. Isaiah 64, 7. It says, and there's none who calls your name, who calls out on you, who stirs himself to take hold of you. When you see prayer as a taking hold of the Father, not in you're just grabbing on Him and whatnot, but as it were in an embrace, intimate, based on affinity, based on union. Prayer. To lay hold on God is stirring from within you to take hold of Him in the sense of an encounter. Encountering the Father Himself. And last, worship. Worship. John 4, 23, worship. The hour cometh and now is. Now. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in what? In spirit and in truth. He goes on to say, for the Father seeks such to worship him. We who are his children now, we who are his sons and daughters, the desire of his heart, what he seeks is for us, is for you as an individual to do what? To worship. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I encourage us, take delight in the Lord. Delight in him. There's nothing, no one like him. So that when you open up your mouth to sing songs, or to laud his name, or to magnify him. The things, I have to say this, thank you for time. The things that come out from your lips, the things that emanate from your mouth, so that it rings true in the very recesses of your soul. Deep down. So that when you say, there is none like you. You alone are worthy of all honor and praise. No other name. It's him. And it rings true from the depth of your soul. We're not just saying words. It's not just words. We transmute, we move away from that point of just the mechanical, just doing. And I'm not saying that about us, but in the body, we get in that trap. When you say only Jesus, it means only Jesus. When you mean only Jesus will do, only God will do. Let's rise. Everyone, don't. Let the things of the world grow dim, strangely. More so. Father, we love you. From the depths of our heart, Father, we say we love you. Thank you, Lord, because your heart is in knowing your children. You know us, Lord. And it's our heart cry. We know you. We purpose to press in the experiential, knowing you for who you are. As you. Nothing else. Thank you for causing us to just press in more and more. For that delight, our delight is in you, Lord. We love you. We honor you with our very lives, all that we are. Thank you. Thank you for causing us, making us overcomers, victorious in this life by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. If you're here and you say, I don't have a foundation, I don't know Jesus. Take advantage of this hour, this time. Make your way forward. You say, I don't have, you talk about the Spirit, Pastor. As concerns baptism of the Holy Spirit, in and of, you want that tangible in your life, real in your life. Come forward. Or you say, Pastor, it's a health concern. It's a health issue. And I need agreement. Take advantage and make your way forward as well. Today. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. You all have a blessed week. A glorious one. Keep shining as light. I'm blessing many. Through the power of God at work in your lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a blessed one, everyone. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.